everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. Ridiculed, berated, beaten unmercifully, and left to die at age 11, my next guest had already suffered years of abuse at the hands of a father whose claim to Christianity was in pretense only, and on Sunday only. And even then, the fear of what would happen next, for nothing at all, paralyzed his already beaten-down mother, a devoted Jew, and his siblings. As the oldest and often first to bear the brunt of his father's alcoholic rage, the mental, physical, and emotional abuse would soon take its toll. A speech impediment, ulcers, inability to gain weight, and a self-loathing from years of being told unspeakable names by a father who could never utter the name, quote, son, let alone love. Until one miraculous day, all of that would change. And that is the story you are about to hear today in part one of our two-part conversation. Founder, Friends of Zion Heritage Center and Museum, Jerusalem, Israel, award-winning journalist and expert on Israel and the Middle East, number one New York Times best-selling author and publisher of several books, his heart-wrenching yet hopeful autobiography, Son, I Love You, strangled by his father and left for dead, which we will talk about today. Add to this, ladies and gentlemen, a documentary filmmaker and internationally recognized leader in uniting Christians and Jews in solidarity and purpose. Please welcome Dr. Michael D. Evans. Dr. Evans, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Evans, your story is one movies are made of and should be, though tough to read, must be shared, since the call of God on your life at an early age has been wrought with much pain, yet in the end, overcoming victory, which we will expound upon in our second segment. But for this segment, Dr. Evans, would you just take our listeners back to that day and time when you heard words you had longed to hear your entire life, and after a beating that almost ended your life? Dr. Michael Evans, please tell us your story.
Well, my mother was an Orthodox Jew. Her grandfather was a rabbi in Belarus, which is ancient Poland. His name was Rabbi Mikhail Katznelson. Actually, the synagogue he was in, there was another rabbi in it by the name of Metzner. Rabbi Metzner was a cantor rabbi, and that rabbi was the grandfather of Israel's ninth president, Shimon Peres. They were both burnt to death in that synagogue. 2,000 Jews were burnt to death in it. I heard about it at the age of 4. I was watching cartoons, and all of a sudden Billy Graham came on. My mother shut off the TV, and she looked at me and she said, "Christians kill Jews. Christians hate Jews. Jesus died. Don't dig him up. The Pope, Billy Graham, and Adolf Hitler are all Christians. I named you after your great-grandfather, Rabbi Mikhail Katznelson, who was burnt to death in a synagogue." Well, that was my first introduction to Jesus. And consequently, she married a professing Christian, my father. But my father hated Jews. How could he possibly marry a Jew and hate Jews? Well, that's difficult to understand, but he did. And my father had an obsession. His obsession was that my mother had an affair with a Jewish man, and I was not his son. So at the age of 4, he began abusing me. I ran away from home at 4. I remember that well. The police picked me up in a park. And over the years, it got worse and worse. He never called me son. He called me a curse word and never heard the word I love you or a word of affirmation. My father was very, very brutal. He extension cords, coat hangers, his fists and boots. and he went into rages, just went into demonic rages. But on the other hand, he went to church every Sunday. They called him Brother Bob in church. And he had a big Thompson Chain Bible by his bed. But on Friday nights, he went to the Twilight Cafe and got drunk. He'd always walked there. I guess he knew if he drove, he'd crash the car. So he'd walk to the Twilight Cafe, and he'd come home usually between 1 and 2 in the morning. And his tradition was to get a chair, sit my mother down in it, and accuse her of being a Jewish whore and saying, "That is not my son, it's a bastard." And he was referring to me. So I used to sit on the stairs and cry as I would watch my mother be beat up because of me.
Wow. And you do talk about that in your book. At such a young age, you wanted to defend your mother. You felt helpless to do so. And when you tried to one day at age 11, what happened next?
Well, the first thing that happened on a Tuesday in school, they asked the children, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I remember them telling the kids on a Monday they were going to be asked that question, so I showed up late at school because I didn't want to answer the question because my goal was to be 20. It wasn't to be a doctor or a pilot or anything special. My goal was to be alive at 20 because my father had attempted to kill me before, and I was convinced he would kill me before 20, so that's all I wanted to be, was 20. But I was the last person to answer the question, I remember, by the red bell, and I stuttered, and they said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I stuttered and said, 20, and everybody laughed. They thought it was very funny. Nobody understood why I said what I said. But that Friday night, my father came in drunk, and he did what he always did. He set my mother down in a chair, started slapping her in the face, calling her a Jewish whore, and accusing her of me being illegitimate. I would always sit on the top of the stairs and see the scene and cry, but too ashamed and afraid to defend her against this very strong, violent man. That day I got my courage up, and I screamed out in the dark, "Stop it." That's all I had to say. When he heard that, he flew up the stairs, picked me up with both of his hands by my throat, way above his head. My feet were several feet off the ground, and strangled me. I remember looking in those bloodshot eyes, and I was thinking, "I'll never make it to 20. I am dead." And I went unconscious, and when I woke up gagging on my own vomit. I had vomited all over myself, and I was in a fetal position on the floor, and I remember the first prayer I prayed. Now, at that time, I did not believe in God and certainly didn't believe in Jesus. Jesus, the only Jesus I knew, was my father. And I thought it was all fake. I didn't believe in any of it. Mm-hmm. And I shouted out in the dark when I realized I was alive. It was a prayer of rage. It wasn't a holy prayer. At least, it didn't seem holy to me. It was, "God, why was I born?" It made no sense that I was alive. I was actually mad that I was alive. Why? He hates me. She's being abused over me. Why am I even alive? And when I said that, "God, why was I born?" all of a sudden, the brightest light I had ever seen came into that room. I first thought it was my father with the spotlight, that he came to finish me off, so I threw my hands over my face to protect my face, but then it was quiet. He was never quiet. And as I listened to the quiet, the stillness, so quiet, all of a sudden I wanted to see what it was. So I peeked through my fingers, and when I peeked through them, I saw two nail-scarred hands. And the scars were not in the palms, they were way up high in the wrist, which I never heard of that before. And then I looked up towards the eyes, and every color in the rainbow was the eyes. There were blues and greens and every color of the rainbow, and the eyes were like magnets. The moment you looked at the eyes, you couldn't take your eyes off the eyes, and you could see through the eyes. You could see eternity through the eyes and angels through the eyes. And the most amazing things about the eyes, they were smiling eyes. I never saw a man's eyes smile until the eyes of Jesus. And as I looked at those smiling eyes, he spoke. And he said three things. First, he said, "Son." I'd never heard the word son in my life. No one ever called me son. Then he said, I love you. I never heard the word I love you. I used to say it to my mother. She had been abused so much she couldn't express affection. She'd say, me too. And then the third thing he said was, I have a great plan for your life. Well, that was it, and he left. The rest of the night, I cried with joy because I knew that my greatest shame was I couldn't defend one Jew against a Jew hater, my father against my mother, and that my life calling and reason I was born was to defend the Jewish people. And it gave me hope. By the way, in the morning, I didn't stutter. The stomach ulcer was gone. I had hundreds of fears that night, the dark, death, people, heights, everything, all the fears were gone. I was healed, I was delivered, I was saved, I was called, I was filled, and I didn't even know the theology of any of it.
Wow, wow. You were also miraculously healed. You had broken bones. You could have choked on the vomit that spilled out because of the horrific beating. What was your next thought that morning or that day?
I was totally convinced in what he said. When, for the first time in my life, I knew I was loved. For the first time in my life, I knew that there was a purpose for my life, and the great purpose. Like he said, a great plan for your life. And that visitation, which I've never seen him before, I've never heard his voice again, but that visitation changed my life forever. It only lasted a few seconds, but it was completely life-transforming. Now, on the other hand, my father didn't change. He was the same the next day, the next month, the next year, for many years thereafter. But I was changed, completely, radically transformed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to founder of Friends of Zion Heritage Center and Museum, Jerusalem, Israel, award-winning journalist and expert on Israel and the Middle East, and number one New York Times best-selling author, his highly acclaimed autobiography, Son, I Love You, Dr. Michael D. Evans, in part one of this two-part exclusive. You can learn more about Dr. Mike Evans' work, ministry, and mission, and current events by visiting JerusalemPrayerTeam.org and FozMuseum.com, and be the answer for blessing the land of the Bible, its people, and Holocaust survivors worldwide. You will be blessed. You did. Dr. Evans, it has been an incredible honor bringing your voice to testimony for such a time as this. Your story is the one that movies are made of and should be. Your overcoming and miraculous journey is a testament that Yeshua, Jesus, really does exist. And when eyes are opened and God's hand extended, there is no evil on earth that can extinguish it. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. Last week, you heard the heart-wrenching yet hopeful story of a young man destined for greatness, in spite of the horrific physical, mental, and emotional abuse he would suffer as a child, and in later years, after much success, suffer with the stigma of stinging words and feelings of rejection, no matter the achievement or quest for perfection. What was the answer? In his best-selling autobiography, Son, I Love You, Dr. Michael D. Evans makes the case for Christ, the miraculous, the faith, and favor of God that would now hallmark his life, and the promise his Messiah would make, quote, I have a great plan for your life, more truer now than when first spoken. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, a great honor indeed, founder of Friends of Zion Heritage Center and Museum, Jerusalem, Israel, award-winning journalist and expert on Israel and the Middle East, number one New York Times, a best-selling author and publisher of several books, add to this documentary filmmaker and internationally recognized leader for uniting Christians and Jews in solidarity and in purpose. Please welcome Dr. Michael D. Evans. Dr. Evans, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you.
Dr. Evans, we talked a little bit about your growing up and the horrific childhood you had to endure. Talk to us now about your wonderful organizations, namely the Friends of Zion Museum in Jerusalem, your Jerusalem prayer team, and your upcoming event in Dallas celebrating Israel's 70th anniversary, held May 18th through the 20th, 2018, and how all of this came into being.
Well, to begin with, in 1972, I met a lovely lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. We had soup together, and she asked me to tell her my story, and I did, and she wept, and then she told me her story about imprisonment, her father, Casper, being killed and then buried in an unmarked grave, saving 800 Jews in Harlem, Holland. Corrie said to me that I asked her if she had any prayers that hadn't been answered. She said only one, that she called the beige, the house, would be a witness for the Lord. Well, when she passed, I went there and I purchased the home of Corrie Ten Boom, restored it, and made it into a museum in Harlem, Holland. By the way, I did it on April 15th. Which I didn't realize that was the day she was born and the day she died. And speaking of that, she told me at 51, when she was in Robinsbrook, she was weeping because it was going to be her birthday, and she said, Lord, I'm alone. Betsy's dead. Betsy's dying. My father's dead. And she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, I have a gift for you for your birthday, the last verse of the 91st Psalm. Well, the last verse is, with long life shall I satisfy you. Corrie was 51 when the Lord gave her that promise. She died at 91. It was the 91st Psalm, the last verse. The birthday gift he gave her was 40 more years of life in ministry. Wow. Well, the Ten Booms had a prayer meeting that began in 1844, and it went to 1944 to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I started that prayer meeting back, and we called it the Jerusalem Prayer Team because that's what they would do, is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Jerusalem Prayer Team is now the largest prayer group on the planet. It's the number one site in religion on Facebook on the planet. We have almost 40 million members now. And the Jerusalem Prayer Team is the organization that built the Friends of Zion Museum and Heritage Center in Jerusalem. I'm a writer also. I've written 81 books. And it's my call. It's the reason I was born. It has to do with comforting my people and uniting them. And that's all I do.
Did you ever, Dr. Evans, in your wildest dreams, believe you would be where you are today in life, in ministry, and in the Lord?
Actually, I did. I believed it the moment the Lord appeared to me at 11. I've had meetings with 52 world leaders. I've had the privilege of giving the President of the United States the Friend of Zion Award in the Oval Office. I've given it to President George Bush, Prince Albert of Monaco, the President of Bulgaria, the President of Guatemala, many, many other world leaders, meeting with leaders of nations, praying with kings, and all of that was defined. But I knew instantly at 11 when the Lord said, I have a great plan, that he did have a great plan. And I knew that the great plan had to do with my people, the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. I knew that for sure. Didn't know how he was going to do it, but I knew he was going to do it.
In your book, you talk about the significance of the name given to you. Can you explain?
Mikkel Katznelson. My name is Michael, and I was named after my great-grandfather, Rabbi Mikkel Katznelson, who was burned to death in a synagogue with 2,000 Jews. What I didn't realize at the time is the significance of that, because I knew it was significant, but I was with the Pope, with the ninth president of Israel, Shimon Peres, and when he introduced me to the Pope, he said to the Pope, Michael is a Jewish man. He was named after his great-grandfather, Mikkel Katznelson, who was burned to death in a synagogue. And the Pope looked at me and said to me in his Italian, you are a Jewish man. Tell me how you came to Jesus Christ. Well, I ended up sharing my whole personal testimony with the Pope and with the ninth president of Israel, crying. And as I was weeping, I noticed something. Both of them were weeping. At the end of the testimony, Shimon Peres and I left. And over dinner that night, he said to me, there is a God. He said, do you realize, Michael, that your great-grandfather and my grandfather were rabbis in the same synagogue? And he said, I felt like we were family. Now I know we are family. We both go back to the wooden synagogue. So it's an amazing thing when God calls you, and you don't know you have hidden treasures. I never took a writing course in my life, yet I've written 81 books. I've written 9 books last year, 10 books the year before, besides the ministries we direct and everything else. But God is an amazing God, and he loves to take the broken things and confound the wise with them and truly give you beauty for ashes.
And I can see early in your life how Satan tried to just rip that out of you with the horrible words your father would say to you. There's a scripture, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, faith comes whether it's true or false. And for so many out there today, words that are stinging and hurtful and demeaning, some carry this with them their whole entire life and never truly overcome. What helped you to truly overcome and give you the confidence you need to deal with world leaders and do what you've done today?
Well, if you believe that God is God, and that nothing takes him by accident, there's no surprises, and that God can take our pain and turn it into power, purpose, and passion. I never called myself a victim. I never considered myself a victim. I considered myself victorious.
Mm-hmm.
I saw what I went through as the greatest day of my life. People say, well, that's awful. What happened to you with your father? It really wasn't awful. It was the moment I saw the Lord and was radically transformed. So he took the most painful day of my life and made it into the greatest day in my life. And it's a choice we have in life. When we have been rejected and we've been hurt, we can define ourselves by our pain, or we can believe that God is not caught unaware, that he's aware of who we are, he's aware of the circumstances, and he can give us redemption through that. By the way, I ended up leading my father to the Lord.
Right.
And I forgave him unconditionally. I had a struggle with that, because I thought unconditional forgiveness meant I had to trust the person or condone him, but it doesn't mean you have to trust him or condone him at all. It's a gift you give that people don't deserve. I gave him that gift, and it ultimately led him to the Lord.
That is so powerful in your book. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. Michael D. Evans, founder of Friends of Zion Heritage Center and Museum in Jerusalem, Israel, the Jerusalem Prayer Team.org. In our remaining moments, Dr. Evans, you talk about your siblings and how they fared in life. You also talk about times when God was silent and what you did during those times. Ultimately, at this juncture of your life, what can you share with our listeners that will help them through their darkest times, knowing that through Christ, they have every victory, even though someone listening may feel defeated?
Well, number one, there's 8,000 promises in the Bible. I got one promise at the age of 11, and I believed it. And there are promises in Isaiah that says, Behold, I do something new. Shall you not know it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Tremendous promise in the Word of God. And everyone that's listening to you, they can take their Bible and stand on one of those promises, because those promises are God speaking, and His words never die. And God is a redeeming God. He knows everything you've been through. He knows every circumstance of your life, and He can take your pain and turn it into power and purpose and passion. He did it in the life of Joseph. He did it in the life of David. He did it in the life of the Apostle Paul. Virtually every prophet, priest, and king in the Bible, He did it in their life. And it's a question of just saying to Him, God, I'm not disqualified because I've been wounded. I've been rejected. Maybe I'm more qualified because I've been wounded and rejected.
Amen.
Maybe you do have favorites. As a matter of fact, He does have favorites. Hurting people are His favorites. And that's why He went to the cross. And so I consider it a great honor and privilege to have gone through what I've gone through, because it didn't destroy me. Actually, my wife tells me the greatest evidence she has of the existence of Christ is me. Because we've been happily married for 48 years, and she knows everything about me. And she knows what a miracle it has been, the transforming power of the Lord.
Praise God and praise God. Dr. Evans, one of the foundational scriptures of testimony is Revelation 12:11, that we truly do overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You have done this, and beautifully. So I want to thank you for taking precious time once again to share more of your incredible story, your life, and life's work. Truly, God meant it when He said, and I quote from your autobiography, "Son, I love you, and I have a great plan for your life." Your courageous and tireless work through Friends of Zion Heritage Center and Museum in Jerusalem, the Corrie ten Boom Holocaust Museum, and events around the world to honor, bless, provide, and protect God's chosen is proof enough, and powerfully so. We thank you for being with us on Testimony. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Dr. Michael D. Evans. You can learn more about Dr. Mike Evans' work, ministry, and mission by visiting JerusalemPrayerTeam.org and FOZMuseum.com. You will be blessed. You did. God bless you, Dr. Evans, and we look forward to having you back on Testimony.
Thank you. God bless you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.